the even thought of wanting to go on a mission trip because I honestly didn't want to waste like a week of my spring break and all my time to sleep in going on a mission trip. But this recent time, the school was having a little bit of a problem trying to find enough students to go on the trip to actually make the trip worthwhile. And I kind of thought about it, and I don't know why. The principal actually came up to me, and he talked to me personally. He personally invited me if I wanted to go on the mission trip. So then I thought that must have been some sort of sign or something. So I decided that I would go. And there are a couple of people who helped donate money for me to go to the trip. I couldn't come up with all of it myself. And I know that there are a couple of donors here in this congregation, and I just want to express another warm welcome and thank you so much for allowing me to go on that trip. I've prepared a little slideshow of some of the pictures that we've taken while I was on New Mexico. That's the New Mexican flag, in case you didn't know. But basically, what we did there, we went to the little school is called the La Vida Mission School. It's a little Adventist school. It's a couple of hours away from Albuquerque. And if we could go to the next slide, please. Basically, the school has about, I would say, maybe 50 kids. And from what I remember, it's a K through 12th grade school. They had a couple of juniors. I don't think they had any seniors, but I would say overall they had about maybe 50 kids in attendance there. And one of the projects that they had us work on while we were there is their school had been expanding with new kids that wanted to come to the school. And the normal classrooms that they had to create another classroom out of a classroom that was basically being used for storage. And so they had us go in there and clean it up. And these next few slides they're going to show us there. This is a classroom that we were cleaning up. We moved everything basically into the center of the room so then we could isolate what we needed to do. They wanted us to paint the walls and the ceiling. You can see those blue little window things right there. They wanted us to repaint those. The next slide just basically shows us painting those walls there. And I think even the next slide shows me actually, I'm actually doing something. So I wasn't lazy over there, but I was just painting the ceiling over there. And we started that the second day we got there. And overall, to finish the classroom, it probably only took us 1.5 to 2 days. We basically just painted everything the first day, and then we had to touch up the paint as we went along. And actually, at the end of the week, there had been a church member that donated carpet for that room, so we were able to lay out the carpet at the first part. But so the classroom didn't take up a whole week, but actually one of the principal's sons and I, we went to do another project on the same campus. They had two Sabbath school rooms in their churches that needed to be repainted because they were going to have an upcoming camp meeting there, and they wanted those Sabbath school rooms to look really nice. And so while I don't have any pictures of that one, but so I spent about 2 days or so just painting those walls in there, and at the end it looked really good. And throughout the day, the church and school officials would come into the rooms, and they would just be amazed every single time they saw it, and they would just be so thankful to us for the opportunity for us to go down and actually spiff up their school. This is the room that the guys stayed in. There were only 4 guys going that went, actually, and we had bunks there, as you can see. And it wasn't too bad. I mean, overall, there were only 8 kids that went, 4 guys, 4 girls. And I think the next picture shows us. This is a little picture of the kitchen there. That's our principal there, and he's typically a pretty shy guy. He's very quiet. And this is the last day that we spent there, and this is actually as we were getting ready to leave. I thought I'd take a couple of pictures just to show my parents in case, you know, they want to see something like that. And so I walked into the kitchen, and then I was trying to take a picture of the kitchen, and then my principal kind of turned around, and we didn't say anything, so it was just a little awkward. So then I just left after I took the picture, so thank God he's not here to get on me for that. But this is us as we're leaving, and this guy actually right here who's right there in the little gray sweater there, his name is Bob, and from what I understand, he has been at this particular school for, I think, a couple decades. He's part of the maintenance crew there. And every night that we were there, he would take us out into nature, and he would take us on these hikes to see the surrounding canyons. Or one of the biggest things to find there are Native American Indian arrowheads that have, you know, been left around. And so I know that a couple of the guys would go every single night, and they would spend hours out there just looking for a little Native American Indian arrowhead. I was there, but it was really windy the whole time we were there, and it was cold, and I wasn't used to it, so I kind of chickened out after the first few days, and I let them go at it. But there's also shark teeth out there. The place that we're at, we're thousands of feet above elevation, so I guess there's shark teeth there. I guess maybe that could explain some of the flood. But so he would take us out every night and stuff, and we actually had a really fun time. I mean, I'm not sure if it's the next slide or not. Oh, this is the playground. There's no kids there, just us. This was just us taking a little break. But when the kids were out for recess or a little break, they really liked to play basketball. And, you know, I'm a basketball fan myself, so I didn't mind playing with them. But they had this type of game, a basketball game, that we all got really into. And those kids were really fun. And I'm really glad that I got the opportunity to meet them and kind of play with them. And I think the next slide shows, yeah, this is one of the little kids that I could find a picture of. This is, on the left, that's a girl from Norway. She's an exchange student. And basically, while I was working in the church one day, the other group was in the classroom. I have no idea, but at lunch, and for actually all of our meals, we would meet in the school's cafeteria where they would feed us. And I come to the cafeteria, and she's just like hugging on this little guy for like the whole period. And they're just like taking pictures and whatever. So I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. It's really pretty nice to see that we were integrating already with the kids there. Let's see, next slide, please. New Mexico isn't like California. It's very dry and it's very rocky. I mean, there was no greenery anywhere. And the first day we got there, our principal told us that the rocks would grow on us, and I thought to myself, that must be crazy, because I love California. I love the city. I couldn't stand to look at a rock every second of my day. But actually, the rocks were really cool. I mean, there were just tons of rocks. I mean, although it wasn't too colorful, I mean, it was just cool to see God's creation like that in another form. I think another picture just shows some more of the canyons. Yeah, that's actually one of the national parks there that we visited. Where they had some ruins where we can see later on. The next picture just shows us driving. That's if there were no rocks, it just looked like that. It was just really barren and desolate. It was actually really boring. But I think the next picture, this shows us as we went to one of the, it was like an abandoned little village, I guess, for the Native Americans. And it was really cool because, once again, the guys were trying to find arrowheads. And they didn't really find much success there, but this place was just really neat. It was just cool to see how the Native American Indians had a lifestyle there without some of the things that we use today. I think one of the last pictures, that's us as we're leaving the little area there. To the left of the screen is the little abandoned village. I thought it was a cool picture because it looked like there was a storm coming in above, and that just kind of like, that was just pretty much how we were the whole time. We were just like having a lot of fun on the whole trip, but we also did a lot of things. And then the final picture that we're going to show, that's us. That was actually taken on the first flight. And that's pretty much all that went. Like I said, 4 guys, 4 girls, 2 chaperones. There were 5 juniors that went, 1 freshman, and then I think 2 sophomores. So we had a pretty good group. I didn't really know any of them too personally before I went. But when I came back, you know, I really did develop a better friendship and stuff. And I guess when you live with them for like 7 days, you naturally kind of get to know them a little better. But I just wanted to share a couple of texts with you. First off, the title of my sermon today was Don't Be on the Bench, and I wanted to use a little analogy. I hope I don't get shot for it, but I'm going to use a little sports analogy in church. But it's basically in any sport, you have an opposing team, and then you have an offensive team. And basically, for both sides, you really need to work together as a team, and you really need to function properly so that what you're trying to accomplish gets accomplished and stuff. And so I believe as Christians, we shouldn't be, quote-unquote, sitting on the bench, but I think we should be out there in the world and trying to get as many people to see God's message, because these are the last days, and we can't just be here and think that we're okay, but we need to go make sure that, you know, our brother in need is also getting taken care of too. And so I have a couple of texts. The first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to kind of skip around that chapter there. If you want to look it up, that's fine, but I'll just read it. 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to start with verse 7, and it says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." I'm going to skip to verse 12. "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ." I'm going to jump down to verse 14. "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many." And then finally, verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." So like I just said, I'm really glad to hear that. I'm not sure if it's going to happen, but I would like to see our church go on a mission trip. I think everyone is able to. We all have been given our special talents from God, and I think that we can all use them to go out there and, you know, show His love that way. And I'm really thankful for the opportunity that I had to be able to go on this trip, and I'm definitely not going to forget it. I want to close with one last text. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." So, basically, we can't sit around. We can't expect other people to do the job for us that God has called us to do. Even though we don't consider ourselves Bible workers, or I'm sorry, maybe we don't have the title as a Bible worker or something like that. But as Christians, it's our responsibility to make sure that everyone hears God's message, and we should do it openly. And I didn't expect to be called to go on the mission trip, but yet God chose me. So I'm not sure if I'm going to go again, but I would encourage you, if there's the opportunity to go on a mission trip to serve God, that'd be awesome. So let's go ahead and close with prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you that my sermon went well. Please help everyone to have a good rest of their day. And just please be in our lives, and please show us that if you want us to lead and minister for you, then let that be obvious. And please help us have a good day. Amen.